Hello, this is Dee, reading the Vermilion County News for June 29th. We'll begin our reading with the front page story entitled District 118 to Look at Reopening Challenges by Carol Rem Danville. Danville District 118 school board members will make a final decision as to when Northeast Elementary Magnet School will start and whether to offer behind-the-wheel driver's education at Danville High School during a special meeting on Monday. Superintendent Alicia Geddes conducted a Zoom meeting with about 100 Northeast parents and staff Friday morning to share with them the challenges of reopening the school and to gather their input. Northeast students follow a year-round balanced calendar and would normally start their school year in July, but the district most likely will have the school follow a traditional calendar for the 2020-2021 school year only. The first day of school for the traditional calendar schools is supposed to be August 13th, but that could change. The rumor out there is that it was easier to start all of the schools at the same time, but all of this is hard, Geddes said. Before we could even talk about reopening schools, we had to be in phase 4 of the state's reopening plan, which started on Friday. We are not able to start school without PPE, she said, adding the district is required to supply the PPE. The state wanted districts to consider starting school early so they could finish earlier in the fall before a second wave of COVID-19, but we need PPE. The state said they will provide PPE for us on September 1st. And when we do reopen schools, we will not be returning to a pre-pandemic school day. Geddes shared some of the highlights of the 60-page guidance the Illinois State Board of Education released June 23rd, but added that she expects the state to amend it next week. The guidelines include requiring face masks for all students and staff, restricting the number of people in a space to no more than 50, checking temperatures for students and staff before entering a school bus and before entering a school building, and needing many monitors to ensure social distancing on school buses and in hallways, restrooms, and other common areas. Someone has to monitor the bathrooms, Geddes said. Once temperatures are taken at the door, everyone has to go to the bathroom to wash their hands. Students will be eating lunch in individual classrooms and not in a common area cafeteria. Classrooms have to be cleaned after the kids eat lunch, and the children have to be taken to the bathroom to wash their hands, she said. If a student tests positive for COVID-19, everyone in the classroom and everyone who has come within 6 feet of the student will have to be quarantined for 14 days. Geddes said one big concern was having enough staff, teachers, monitors, and daycare workers when the schools reopen. We have a shortage of teachers and administrators in Vermilion County. Geddes said, I don't know where the state thinks we're going to get enough people to monitor everything and to provide daycare for my staff. Where am I going to get these people from? Although the state is requiring districts to provide daycare for its staff, employees can choose not to use it. Some staff won't return because they have childcare issues, and they can use FMLA, Family Leave Act. She said there are staff who have health issues and want to work from home. Some other challenges include the state requiring districts to provide students with technology and internet access, and figuring out how to run the bus routes while student riders maintain social distancing. We have placed orders for computers and masks using CARES money, Geddes said, referring to Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act funding. Geddes acknowledged the teachers are concerned about young children and special needs children keeping their masks on, so the district is trying to purchase full face shields. Safely transporting the district's 6,000 students, most of who ride school buses, is a huge logistical challenge that Geddes said she and others are trying to figure out. By the time I get everyone to Northridge Middle School and Northeast, it will be 1 p.m. And by the time I get them home, it will be 6 p.m., she said. At the end of the 45-minute meeting, Geddes told parents, "We have no solid plans for reopening. It will be almost impossible to bring all 6,000 students back." During Monday's special meeting, the board will do the following. Consider approving a plan for behind-the-wheel driver's education and a COVID-19 summer curricular program consent and waiver of liability form. At the June 17th school board meeting, when the question of whether to approve the driver's education plan for this summer came up twice, both times it didn't reach the roll call vote stage because it failed to receive a second motion from a board member. To offer driver's education, District 118 would be restricted to 2 students and 1 instructor per car, with everyone wearing masks. There also would be no eating or drinking in the car, windows must be open, and instructors would have to disinfect the cars between each behind-the-wheel session. The district's liability insurance carrier requires a signed waiver for each student holding the district harmless if he or she contracts the coronavirus. Parent signed waivers for minors, however, are problematic because in Illinois, a minor's rights cannot be signed away. They will also consider approving the 2020-2021 Ownership in Education Handbook. Some of the additions to the handbook include the use of smartwatches, vaping, the use of counseling as a disciplinary measure, and updated interventions by grade level. The district also updated its timeout and physical restraint policy so that the district maintains compliance with all rules and regulations from ISBE regarding seclusion and physical restraint. They will also be considering approving school fees for the 2020-21 school year. Also considering approving an addendum to the district's transportation agreement with First Student. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, First Student hasn't had any District 118 students to transport, so the bus company has asked the district to help with its expenses. And they will also consider approving a disposal mask purchase for the 2020-2021 school year. A 45-school-day supply of masks for all students and staff will cost a total of $107,950 for 63,000 pediatric masks and 180,000 adult-size masks. Another front-page article is entitled, "Sharpening Skills. DAC helps support police training," by Carol Rem Danville. A police officer walks along a wooded path and encounters the woman who summoned the police to help with a noise complaint. Without any additional information from the woman, the officer continues down the path to an old metal machine shed where a man appears to be working on a table saw. The officer calls out to the man as he slowly approaches him. The man suddenly turns and opens fire on the officer, and the officer returns the gunfire, killing him. A woman then appears from within the shed and runs toward the officer, swinging her arms and rapidly throwing punches with her fists. It's a blur of action in those few seconds, but the officer determines the woman is unarmed and decides not to use deadly force. This narrative is one of 900 crime simulation scenarios that MILO, a high-tech interactive system, can present to train Danville police officers and others on how to respond effectively and humanely in emotionally charged situations. Proactive plan. Danville Area Community College criminal justice instructor Ricky Williams Sr. first learned about the MILO system during a meeting several months ago with U.S. Attorney John Millhiser about starting a U.S. Department of Justice youth outreach program in April at Danville High School. The program, which would have shown up to 80 teens a day the everyday work of law enforcement, ended up being postponed when schools statewide closed because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Still, Williams persuaded the college to purchase the MILO system to provide the college's criminal justice students with real-life experiences in policing. It's an extremely valuable tool for teaching and for training because the system runs scenarios that are true to life. Williams said it will give our students an advanced view of what professionals in the criminal justice field face in the line of duty. DAC has been on a 4-year track to bring more technology into the criminal justice program, starting first with computers, then live scan fingerprinting, and finally drones, Williams said. The MILO system arrived in May and is set up temporarily in Danville's Public Safety Building, where it is being shared with the Danville Police Department. Police Chief Chris Yates said he had been looking into renting a similar system when he learned that DAC President Stephen Necco had approved the purchase of an MILO system. "We experienced a 60% cut to state funds for police officer training, and that was prior to COVID-19. He said we have to be proactive in finding alternative methods of training. During the first week of June, the Danville Police Department had the opportunity to see the new MILO system up close. The police department immediately began providing refresher training for officers, those fresh out of the police academy, as well as senior officers. The plan is to provide this training continuously to the police department's 64 officers, as well as to the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department. It's a huge logistical task to do live role-playing," Yates said. "This system will supplement and enhance what training we already do." DAC also will use the MILO system to teach criminal justice students who may be interested in pursuing a career in law enforcement. MILO will be effective in recruiting students to come to DAC and choose to pursue a college degree in criminal justice, Williams said. Training tool. Although DAC paid for the system, the involvement of the Danville Police Department in the development and continued enhancement of MILO has increased the system's value. As Danville police officers train using MILO, they are helping to narrow down the hundreds of scenarios for situations that police officers might encounter on the job by setting aside the scenarios that will be the most useful for DAC's criminal justice program. "The majority of our officers have gone through multiple scenarios," Yates said. "We can say this is a good scenario, for example, a high-frequency call that could be high risk or low risk, and we can save it in a folder in the system." "We've been working with it for about 3 weeks." He said it was best for us to get everything aligned and get an understanding of the product. "We're in the infancy stages of what this could be." Not only is MILO beneficial for the Danville Police Department, DAC's Criminal Justice Program, and the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, it also can be used as a learning tool for other professionals, such as attorneys, mental health workers, and corrections officers. Through the use of artificial intelligence technology, the scenarios may have several different outcomes based on how officers react within the scenario. "We can make the scenario whatever we want it to be," Yates said. "There are 900 different scenarios and 4 to 6 reiterations of each scenario. Each scenario can go 5 or 6 different ways, depending on how the officer communicates with the people on the screen and the action that the officer takes." He said the computer changes the response of the role player, leading to either positive or negative consequences. "We have training on the use of force and on de-escalating situations." Yates said 99% of our calls don't involve pulling out a weapon. "It's de-escalating. It's counseling. This system lets us hone our skills by slowing time down so the officer can look at all the options in a scenario. Other scenarios speed up an officer's critical thought process, especially when the officer is in imminent threat of great bodily harm." Williams agreed. These are split-second decisions. It's life or death. Patrol Commander Terry McCord and three other instructors run the MILO system using a laptop computer. We can run four different officers in the same scenario. He said there are a lot of emotionally distanced people scenarios that I run my new officers through. After a training session, we debrief and talk about what they could have done differently. He added, it's great training. It's a great refresher for our officers. The system also can record how many shots are fired from the special fake guns that the officers use during training. We can use this to do target practice, McCord said. It's a lot safer, and we don't have to use ammo, and we don't have to go down to the shooting range. Other uses. In addition to the wide array of law enforcement scenarios, MILO also offers participants interactive role-playing as social workers and mental health professionals. Our society is getting more unhealthy, and we are asking our officers to be psychologists too, Williams said. Yates agreed. Many times we have to switch gears from being an enforcer to a counselor. DAC's liberal arts dean Penny McConnell sees the MILO system as being beneficial to students in many other fields of study. Students in any of the health fields, as well as education, could benefit from the training simulator. She said, frankly, anyone working with the public could benefit from some of the scenarios. MILO may offer the community some insight and empathy for the police, who can be thrust into life or death situations that require split-second decisions. I think if we allowed the public to try out MILO, people would be able to appreciate the difficulties that police officers face and would be more understanding when they interact with police officers, McConnell said. The college also will consider offering a community education class with the MILO simulator system for local residents. In addition, corporate education could use MILO with many of their clients as a supplement to active shooter training. The MILO system eventually will find a permanent home on the Danville campus in a location that would allow convenient access for DAC students as well as Danville police officers. One venue under consideration is the drill room in the former U.S. Army Reserve Center. Our next front page story is entitled DAC Union Ratify 4-Year Pact. It's a staff report. Danville. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees and the Danville Area Community College Classified Staff Association, DAC CSA, which represents classified staff at the college, ratified a new 4-year agreement Thursday night. The agreement allows for a 3% pay increase in each of the 4 years and provides an additional $500 added to the base salary of employees obtaining a 5-year milestone year. As an incentive not to use sick days, employees will earn a half a vacation day for each month that no sick time is used. Another incentive to help recruit and retain students is a $500 stipend if credit hours increase 2% overall per fiscal year. Circumstances were challenging this year considering the COVID-19 pandemic and shelter-at-home order. More than ever, we really needed to trust that we had each other's best interests at heart, Brandon Tuggle, president of DAC CSA, said. We appreciated the acknowledgement that the college respects the essential contributions of our union and its members. We've used interest-based bargaining for several years, and this year truly showed how valuable it is to work together for the good of the college. He said our team thanks the board and our union members for ratifying this contract. With many new and unprecedented challenges this year, the members of the classified union have demonstrated great commitment to the success of the college and our students, and have provided essential services during very trying times. Without them, we would not have been able to sustain operations, DAC President Stephen Nacko said. I wish to thank the union president and the bargaining team for their willingness to participate in an open dialogue during bargaining. NACO said, "I'm happy we can reward their efforts with this agreement. This year has presented one test after another for our employees and students, and the trials keep coming. You can't quantify loyalty and service." David W. Harvey, chairman of the DAC Board of Trustees, said, "The members of the Classified Staff Association have exhibited tremendous devotion to the institution and the students this college serves. We couldn't function without them. I'm happy we were able to find their resources, even in these challenging times, to acknowledge their allegiance." And now we'll turn to obituaries. The first is Barbara Bobby Dudich, 78, of Danville, went to be with the Lord on Sunday, June 21st, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A private family service will be held at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. A public memorial service will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to St. Paul's Catholic Church in Danville or Schlarman Academy. Betty Farr, 101, of Danville, formerly of Los Angeles, California, passed away at 7:34 a.m. on Wednesday, June 24th, at her residence. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, a public service will be announced at a later date. Dalton E. Russian, 25, of Danville, passed away unexpectedly at 2:17 a.m. Thursday, June 25th, at his home. A gathering to celebrate his life will be at 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 30th, 2020, at the Tilton Community Center in Tilton, Illinois. A casual dress visitation is from 2 to 5 p.m. on Tuesday at Robinson Chapel in Catlin. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, face masks will be required for entry to the visitation, and only 10 people at a time can be admitted. The family will be present at the Tilton Community Center. Memorials in Dalton's memory are for the benefit of Mason. Check should be made payable to Deborah Russian. Dorothy Q. Earl, 89, of Danville, passed away on June 23rd. Per Dorothy's wishes, cremation will take place with a burial at Sunset Memorial Park at a later date. Timothy Scott Marak, 59, of Danville, passed away June 5th, 2020, of natural causes. A memorial celebration will be held July 25th, 2020, at Douglas Park from 1 to 4 p.m. Sarah Lee Tucker, 95, of Danville, passed away on June 25th, 2020, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home. Visitation for Sarah Lee will be from 9 to 10 a.m. Tuesday, June 30th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, followed by a graveside service at Stern Cemetery in Fithian, Illinois, at 10:30 a.m. And here's an article entitled "Clinic Creates Scholarship Fund," a staff report. Danville. Women's Care Clinic of Danville has partnered with Danville Area Community College to create a scholarship fund for graduates of the parenting education classes at Women's Care Clinic. The Bridges Scholarship Fund will award up to $1,500 to applicants annually. Recipients of the scholarship can use the funds to further their education at DAC in the program area of their choice. The WCC Board of Directors has dreamed for some time about providing more options and resources for men and women to further their education and careers, even after they have completed Bridges and Ties, the parenting education programming of Women's Care Clinic. We wanted to encourage parents, especially single parents, who are doing all they can to provide a better future for themselves and their children, said board member Vicki Crawford, who led efforts to establish the scholarship fund. The Bridges Scholarship will be administered by the DAC Foundation and will be available as part of the annual DAC scholarship application process. Students interested to apply should contact the DAC Financial Aid Office. Parents interested in WCC parenting education courses should contact Women's Care Clinic at 431-0986. 7. And now I'll read an editorial entitled Phase 4 Welcomed, but Pandemic Persists. It seems like forever since we have visited our favorite venues for leisure activities. These places, restaurants, bars, and movie theaters, for example, have been placed off limits by coronavirus restrictions mandated by state government and Governor J.B. Pritzker. But Friday, Illinoisans can reenter their favorite stomping grounds as the state rolls into Phase 4 of the plan to reopen the state. If you think your ears are playing tricks on you and you just heard a collective hallelujah, it might not be your imagination. As stay-at-home guidelines have stretched on for nearly 4 months, people have become weary of the bland routine they require. Normally, the cabin fever which sets in at winter has broken by now, but some people will finally shake it off in the coming days as they venture out. But it's important for all to remember the guidelines will be relaxed, not done away with completely. Gatherings will be capped off at 50 people, depending on the venue, no more than 25% to 50% capacity will be allowed, and the list goes on. While this will irk many, especially those who had no use for any of the restrictions, it's being done for an important reason. The beginning of Phase 4 doesn't mean the end of the COVID-19 pandemic. In states that opened up sooner than Illinois, that attitude seemed to take hold, and now they are experiencing a spike in infections and a return to restrictions. Illinois will likely see an increase too, with the reopenings and increased testing. So people need not throw caution to the wind. Go out and enjoy yourself, but keep your mask handy. Avoid larger crowds, even those of 50 if possible. Research has shown that where 50 people are gathered, there's a 15% chance one of them has the virus. Although it can't be determined when, we will eventually emerge from this pandemic. Until then, live life, but do so in a way which will ensure you will be around to enjoy the day all the restrictions are lifted. This was out of the Kankakee Daily Journal, June 24th, 2020. And one more staff report. Condon receives 24 years in IDOC, Danville. Christopher Condon, formerly of Danville, was sentenced Friday after a plea of guilty to 24 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections for the offense of first-degree murder, and the entire sentence shall be followed by 3 years of mandatory supervised release, according to a release issued by State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey's office. During the plea, the court heard evidence establishing that on February 14th, the Danville Fire Department arrived at 3602 Bayview Drive after a neighbor called reporting smoke coming from the residence. Upon entering, firefighters found the home filled with smoke and on fire. Firefighters were able to extinguish the blaze. Thereafter, they located the owner of the residence, Jay Hine, deceased inside. Through the course of the investigation by the Danville Police Department and Illinois State Police, it was discovered through video evidence that the victim, Jay Hine, left 610 Tap on Vermilion Street around 4 a.m. with the defendant. From there, the evidence revealed the defendant and Jay Hine went to the victim's home and an argument ensued between the two men. The defendant was arrested after that morning and spoke to police, at which time he admitted to being with Jay Hine and stabbing him at least one time. Forensic pathologist Dr. Uams found that Jay Hine died of multiple stab wounds. During the sentencing rehearing, State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey presented victim impact statements from John Hine and Michelle, both touching on Jay's love for his family and his community. Hoopston Public Library, in conjunction with WILL, University of Illinois, is providing summer learning bags free to local children from preschool through second grade. They can be picked up starting Monday when the library opens to the public. Limit one bag per child. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for June 29th. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.